I'm excited to be in the book of Ephesians this morning with you, Ephesians chapter 4. And just so excited to hear what God is saying. And I struggled over what I would say the first time we're back publicly, if I should continue in Ephesians. And I got chastened by God a little bit because He had this planned. I believe He laid this on my heart through our good friend Gene Stiller last fall when we started in this journey through Ephesians. And, you know, God seemed to say to me, do you think I didn't know where we'd be whenever you're in this part of Ephesians? And so how many know the steps of a good person are ordered of the Lord? And so we find ourselves here, you know, and we have all the same, we start out all the same thing. How many would get excited if every morning when you woke up there was $86,400 in your checking account? How many would be excited? But the thing is, with that $86,400, you'd have to spend it all before the next morning. How many would enjoy that? Come on, somebody. After about 2 or 3 weeks, you'd have everything that you ever wanted. And, you know, you'd start giving money away, hopefully, maybe before that. But every day, you'd get $86,400 in your checking account. That'd be wonderful. Well, every day we awaken, we have 86,400 seconds to spend. We never get them again. They're gone. Somebody said, life happens when you're making other plans. Can't put anything on hold. I've been running lately, and I'm trying to get my time down to a competitive thing, because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm competitive. So I want to run this run of couple 5Ks and 10Ks this year. This is called Map My Run, and it shows me what my time is when I do it. And I found out a really neat thing, because it says,
start workout.
Okay. Now, there's this little red button on the bottom. See that? And it says pause. So I can pause, and it's not taking a second. So then I can hit resume, and it starts taking off the seconds. So I can kind of cheat a little bit. When I found that out, I didn't think it was a cheat, but when I found that out, my time was pretty well, because I'm trying to get my time down from, it won't make a lot of sense to you, but from 11 minutes a mile to 9.5 minutes a mile to be competitive. So I got to shave a minute and a half off. So the other day I was running, and it was windy and cold, and I took a couple pauses, and I got down to 10 minutes a mile. But it really wasn't 10 minutes a mile. It was more like 11 and a half minutes a mile. But what I started this message this morning like this, because we can't put life on hold. Life happens at us at the speed of life. It just happens. And in practice, when we practice things like I'm practicing running, I can cheat a little bit, but when it comes time for the 5K, I can't tell the guy that blows the whistle, hey, buddy, could you pause like about every 13 minutes so we can take a breather and then, you know, start the time again? No, you get a little chip. It's usually on your shoe when you run. When that gun goes off, that chip starts, and at the end, it stops. That's life. We start, we're born, we're born again, we live for God, but we continue every moment of every day, and life comes at us. And we've got to trust God that He's going to get us through it. But we can do it. We can cheat by saying, okay, God, I only need you when I'm tired, or I only need you when I'm weary, or I only need you when I'm in trouble. All the other times, I'll put it on pause. Our relationship with Christ is never on pause. It's a 24/7 effort. So if you have your Bibles this morning, this is my Bible. Now, you could say it louder than that. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. Turn to somebody and say, you will never be the same. Turn in 6 foot distances, right? Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, we do not have any overheads or something, so you're actually going to have to use your Bible or your device. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and we find ourselves in Ephesians 4:17. I think the timing of the Lord is so perfect to where we are today. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, when we read this passage of Scripture, there's nothing in it of sarcasm or in poking fun or in pushing. Paul talks about the Gentiles or those that do not know Jesus in our modern day having no idea what they're doing. We should no longer walk as the rest of the world is walking in the futility of their mind. And if you're spending any time at all listening to the world that we're living in right now, they don't have a clue. It's not a put down. It's not hypocrisy. It's not... They just don't have a clue. I used to be that way. How many could say amen that know Jesus today? We did not know. We were walking in futility of our minds in lust and in wanting our own way, in greediness. But Paul tells us now is the time for the church to live like the church is supposed to live. We ought to be so different than the world that we stick out like a sore thumb. Come on, someone. And the enemy is baiting us and baiting us and baiting us into pushing ourselves to another place of being part Christian. We'll put the thing on pause so we can be part worldly or part American citizen or part Republican or part whatever we're trying to be. But God has told us that we're full-time Christians. We're full-time Christians. And God in this part of the word through Paul is telling us that we are to put on righteousness, put on holiness, and put on acting like we're supposed to act. It's not just an outside thing, it's from the inside out. Now is when God is asking us all those practice times we had, all those weeks and months that we had as Christians sitting in our good little Sunday services and in our Bible studies and our personal reading of books. Now we get to live the thing out because, trust me, the microscope is getting clearer for the world to see what we're about. It is. Paul says, I testify in the Lord. That's behavior. Anytime you see the phrase in the Lord, that's how we behave. We have a position in Christ, but now the Bible said, Paul says, I therefore testify in the Lord. You know, opinions are not forbidden, but they are irrelevant. Opinions are not forbidden. God allows us to think what we want to think, but you know, the bottom line is, He doesn't care what you think. Are you there? God allows us to voice our opinion. Opinions are good. But opinions don't mean anything if it's not lined up with the Word of God. The line of demarcation is very clear. We either think like, walk like, talk like the Lord, or we think like, walk like, talk like Gentiles, those that don't know the Lord. Come on, someone. I'm fussing with you this morning, but God is really asking us to be inclusive in the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be inclusive with them in doing what God has told us to do. See? We are asked to move on without opinions. This is what God said. It's kind of like this lockdown that's happened. The government kind of playing God. Okay, I don't care what you think. You can't go to restaurants. You can't go get your hair cut, but you can go buy booze and lottery tickets. Come on, someone. How unfair that all seems. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you could catch it, I think, online. I talked about being civilly disobedient, how to be civilly disobedient. But if they've not told us that we can't read, preach, and talk about the Word of God, we are bound to be obedient to those that have rule over us. If they're not telling us to do anything that's sinful against the Word, then we're to listen to what the authorities are telling us to do. Not fair. Shouldn't be. We're citizens of the United States. There's only so far they can push us. But believe me, trust me, God is very clear about submitting as a citizen of heaven. Our opinions are fair. That's fair to have an opinion. But what He tells us to do is to be obedient. Come on, somebody. It chafes me the wrong way, trust me. But we are to be obedient to the Spirit's leading. When you and I came to Christ, we had a change of character. We no longer conduct ourselves as before when we were not saved. Patterns of the world's way of living are deceptive. We can't live part-time here and part-time in the world. That's like my app, putting it on pause and cheating myself into believing that I'm achieving something that could never be achievable. This is a tough, but this part of the Word was planned. See? In things like this. And our brothers and sisters that went on before, they lived in crucial times. They lived in crucial times when their freedoms were taken. They were locked in prison. They were killed. They were separated from families. And they were told to give glory to God and to live for Christ in a time where no one should have to live. Right now, we have brothers and sisters across the globe that are meeting secretly for fear of their own life and reading the same scriptures. And I get it. I understand we're American citizens. We live in the greatest nation on the earth. But still, we're told not to go after patterns of the world. The patterns of the world are deceptive. They walk in the futility of their minds. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to an unsaved person. There's a way that seems right even in our own flesh sometimes. Well, God, this is right. I have a right to. Because of our U.S. citizenship, we think we have a right to rail against and say against and do things we're not supposed to do. Come on. After all, I'm American. I'm free. But I'm also a bond slave of Jesus Christ. In the futility of their minds, what seems right in our carnal mind leads to separation from Christ. Thoughts are connected with emotions. Man, I start reading or hearing something and I can get real stirred up in my spirit because I see all kinds of unfair things happening. And my thoughts get connected with my emotions and I get angry. Anybody with me? I just get angry. You know, I say things like, God has not given you the brains He gave geese. I mean, I get angry. But God says that I'm to live restricted. I'm to live as Him as Lord and do what His Lordship tells me to do. Come on, someone. Emotions are connected with my will. Once I get emotional enough, then I spout off or do something I'm not supposed to do. And then my unchecked will is connected to sin. If I do something outside of the purview of God or outside of the control of the Holy Spirit, then I enter into sin. And if that sin is not repented of, it leads to death. Well, we're not talking about something that it's just, well, we have a choice in it. No, it leads to eternal separation from God. Walking in the futility of their minds as Gentiles around us having their understanding darkened. Darkened is skotso, which means deprived of light, no understanding or insight. Blind to the things of God. You and I are not supposed to be so. We are supposed to know what God is saying. Word of God says that we could be alienated, separate, not knowing details or the outcome. There is in the definition of that is religion. Religion is not relationship with God. It separates from, and we don't know what God's will is. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance, agnosio, want of knowledge for divine things, inexcusable things. It's inexcusable that we don't know what God wants because we have the Spirit of God in us. Jesus, in talking to the Pharisees at a couple places in the Word, says, you are a teacher and you don't know these things. See, there are things we just know and are knower, but as American citizens, we think we have a right to be somebody different. After all, we're free. How many know freedom in Christ is different than freedom in America? I'm fussing with you. Freedom in Christ is different from freedom in America. What I think, I don't always speak. Because if I think it, my emotions get involved, my speech gets involved, my will gets involved. I enter into sin, and then I've got to repent and back off. This is tough. I know it's tough. Say, it's not fair. Pastor Rick, it's just not fair. I mean, they're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what to do. Yes, but until they encroach upon our relationship with Christ and they're in some position of authority, you and I are asked to follow that. It's really a level. They're alienated. Then they become ignorant. And then it goes on to say, because of the blindness of their heart, their cardia, the center, their mind, will, and emotions are all tied up in sin and they're blind. How many know blind is a terrible place to be? Blind in the Greek, porcia, is covering with a callus. In other words, it's been used so many times, it's like digging in the garden. You get a blister on your hand. If you use it long enough, it becomes a callus and that place becomes strong. And that's what ignorance leads to. Ignorance leads to blindness, which you can't see anything and you don't want to see anything. It's covering, it's dulled perception. And we've got to be keenly aware of the moment that we're in. Keenly aware of the moment that we're in. Because our obedience to Christ is going to spark the biggest revival the world has ever seen. But it's going to be lined up with the obedience of Almighty God. And then they get past feeling. And that's a dangerous place to be. Look in verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over. Now, this given themselves over, it's a precarious place to be past feeling. It's not physical, but spiritual discernment. And it says, given self over. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, I want you to turn there physically or in your device. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And it's really coming into agreement with punishment. It's coming into agreement with something that we should never have to make a decision about. But the Gentiles and the futility of their mind, having their minds darkened, and it's progressive till they reach the place where they've given themselves over, being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness. Look in Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. My friend, if we get to a place where God gives us over, we're in trouble. Now you say, I'm a Christian, that can't happen. We could argue about that later, but there is a point that God allows our free will to get us in a precarious place and we can jump off into something we never intended to. Are you there? It's quiet in here. Look what it says. God gave them over. Cross-reference, they gave themselves over to lewdness, lasciviousness. In the Greek, it's askala, unbridled lust and wantonness. Not only sexual, but unbridled wantonness and lust for things that we are not supposed to have, things of the flesh to work, all uncleanness and greediness. Greediness means I never have enough. We're here in the United States. Man, we get upset if we can't get our burgers at the counter. What do you mean I can't get my burgers at the counter? I have to sit in line. Come on, somebody. Terry and I had a hankering for pizza the other day at our favorite place at Silver Lake. Silver Lake or Silver? Silver Beach Pizza up in St. Joe, Michigan. That was before Michigan went communist. You know, you can't go there. Don't go to Michigan right now. I mean, they're in a bad place. They're shut down completely. But anyway, we went over there, and so we ordered pizza, and they said, call us when you get there. So we said, well, that's okay. We'll call us when we get there. When we got there, there were about 30 cars waiting. We were 31. So we sat there about an hour waiting to get up there. And I got to tell you, I got a little bit perturbed. Well, I'll tell you, the perspective changed as I started thinking about people in the world that can't even have pizza. Come on, somebody. Brothers and sisters in Christ that I love, that I'm going to spend eternity with, that would love to wait an hour for a piece of pizza. They'd love to wait all day if they thought something like that was going to happen. It's all in perception, see? Be content, the Bible says, in what you have. Man, it's been a tough 8 weeks, but we're still got heat, lights, food. Can still go to the store. Can't get toilet paper, but you can get eggs. And if you eat enough eggs, you won't need so much toilet paper. Come on, somebody. That was a little funny. So Paul directs us to attention to the state of the Gentiles. And then he encourages us. He said, you've not so learned. You who are Christians have not so learned like the Gentiles. Once we know we're responsible for our actions, that's the tough place to be. That's what describes religion. Religion says, yeah, I know, but I don't want to know too much because if I do, I'm then responsible for what I know. I mean, you hear it in our songs. You know, since I've been running a lot, I'm using headphones and I'm listening to a lot of Christian music. I don't want to put Christian music down, all of it, just like 90% of it. I mean, all it talks about is either touch me, put me on your lap, and make everything go away, or I'm so glad that I can be bad and you still love me. That's basically what I'm getting from Christian music. Maybe I'm hearing wrong. Come on. We have not so learned Christ. It's time for the body of Christ to grow up. The example that Paul gives up to now, he says, you've not so learned Christ. But you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. We are responsible. And then he puts that caveat in there. He says, if you have been taught by Him. And we have no excuse to be taught by Jesus or not to be taught by Jesus. We can't wait until church, until we're taught. The Holy Spirit teaches us every day, that 84,600 seconds. Spend a couple thousand with Christ. He'll teach you how to walk. Comparably, we should be light and they should be darkness. That's not a put down. It's Christ delivered us from darkness and we're in the light. But He still gives us a choice to live like the old man did. The old man is dead. You can't resurrect him, but you can remember and you have examples every day of the darkness that they walk in. And you can walk in that darkness if you choose. You have freedom and choice, but you do not have freedom of circumstance or the end, consequences. There's a great deal of culpability to those who do not disciple properly. How ungodly it is to gather people together and pat each other on the back of how good things are. I understand how good things are, but we need to be trained. Come on. I know a little bit about training in this area that I talked about running. I need to train. I really need to eat right and exercise right and sleep right and do all those things. If I don't, I'm not going to win. If we don't do the things that God told us to do, we're not going to walk in victory. We're just not. And by the time that I talk to people, it's crucial time. I've reached a place where I can't, please pray for me. I've got to. Well, what happened to all the other times when God told you before not to get in trouble? And so I pray for those that are in leadership. This is not a time for the church to be talking about loaves, fishes, and coats of many colors. It's time to talk about being trained as a Christian, walking as a Christian. Truth is Christ, and Christ is truth. So Paul goes on to say, if indeed you have heard him, then he says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we're to put off. That means we have a choice to put off. We can do it. We can walk in victory, you and I. The decision is ours to make. Christ has severed us from the old man, but we can access the characteristics, and that's the danger. Oh, I know how to handle this. I'll handle it like I did before. I'll get angry. Or I'll do the thing I know I'm not supposed to do because it brings comfort. Come on, somebody. God says, put off the old man. Don't do it. Don't get caught up. We can resurrect the old man. Not a lie, but we can resurrect all the characteristics. Walk and talk and act like the world 6 days a week, and seven on the seventh day we're all holy and righteous. Then we go back to walking again like the world does. Corruption is the driving characteristic of our former self. Gentiles are walking in the futility of their mind, darkened in the futility of their mind. We need to pray that they would come to the light and see. But they'll never do it watching some of us. So we walk in darkness by choice. The deceitful lust Paul talks about is those things which controlled us in the past and those things that want to control us again. We say goodbye to those. We say goodbye to the things that used to control us, things that make us corrupt, atrophying until death. We don't put to use our prayer life that God gave us. We don't put to use the scriptures that are at our fingertips. We don't put to use the things that God tells us every day. God deposits in us every day wisdom and understanding and knowledge and joy and love and all the things that the Holy Spirit is culpable for, is responsible for. Let me tell you, He does every day for each one of us. Just as the manna laid at the tent, the door of the tent every day to feed that family in the tent, God is faithful in putting every day what we need to finish that day in victory. How many believe that? Because if He doesn't, then there's some kind of a break between our relationship. And we've got to say, God, You've not been fair. You've not supplied for me. I'm starving here. I need wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I need love and a joy and peace. And God said, I've given you all that. I've deposited my spirit in you. I live inside of you. I've given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. All you have to do is access it and use it. Ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Sozo, the higher life. The traits of the crucified man are not accepted in the kingdom. The dead man's traits are not accepted in the kingdom of God. We are a new creation according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new again. And the frustration is, because the old characteristics do not fit into this kingdom, we make religious truth to appease the flesh. That's called religion. Because the old ways of doing things do not fit into the kingdom, we create a place where they fit. I could still go to church and hate. I could still go to church and live my lifestyle. I could still go to church and do this. I could do that. And I'm a good member in standing at the local. Come on, somebody. Paul is making a darkness and a light comparison. He's really helping us transition from that place when we were living like the Gentiles live to the place that we're supposed to live now. He's really helping us out because he said, but you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off those things. And verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That which is deposited at salvation is yours. That which corresponds with Christ is yours. It's ours to live. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It almost sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds too simplistic. But God said, where your focus is, that's where you'll be. If your focus is on the things of the earth, that's where you'll be. You'll be base-minded. You'll be greedy. You'll have avarice. You'll have greed. You'll have hate. You'll have lust. You'll have all those things, because that's what's in the worldly system. The worldly system has no capability of being holy. It doesn't. There are good things, but if they're worldly, they're filled with things that are against the kingdom of God. That's our pause button. We can pause and live like the world and come back and think that we're in good standing with God. And God said, where have you been? Where have you been for this last 3 or 4 hours? Where have you been for this last 4 or 5 days? Where have you been? I've been right here. I've been waiting for you. How about someone? Am I the only one that's harder on everybody else than me? Somebody said you judge others on their actions and yourself on your intentions. I intended to do that, therefore I did that. Come on, somebody. Or to walk in the new man. The new is revealed to us on a day-to-day basis. Every day is new. It's a perpetual newness. We say, well, some of you might be hearing me today either by video or here, that are having a tough time grabbing that new again. Let me tell you, it's a prayer away. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The wonderful thing the Holy Spirit can do is wipe it all clean and start from this moment forward. God doesn't drag your past into your present. Come on, someone. And He doesn't project our present into our future except for the good. He'll deal with you right now. All you have to do is repent. If you've been giving yourself over to the things of the world, all God says is repent. And times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. That's the wonderful thing about being... I wish that worked on my app. You know, I hit pause and hit play again, I'm at the end of the race. But God says, I'm going to deal with you like I deal with my children. I'll give you the strength to do what needs to be done. Put on the new man, Paul says, which was created according to God. So this new man has already been created, my Bible says. You say, where is he? He's right here. Come on, someone. Put on the new man which was created, Scripture says, according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we've been created after the pattern of Christ. There's no need for us to be introduced. There's no need for us to guess. There's no need for works to secure what is already ours by birthright. God says if you intend in your heart, your intention is to live like you're supposed to live, I've given you the pattern. It's already there. I've given you the victory. All you have to do is say yes to me. Wow. Wow. That's tremendous. It's the biggest effort in the world, but it's tremendous. It's an effort to die to self. But once we die to self, God floods us. God floods us. He says, if you will, I will. If you'll live like this, I'll do this. If you choose to live in darkness, I'll still love you. I'll still be here. But the fruit of that is going to be in your life. It's going to be obvious where you're at. You're going to walk like the Gentiles. You're going to talk like the Gentiles. You're still my child. I love you, but you need to repent. And that kind of thing, that rigmarole could go on day after day after day, and God is still going to be there because He'll never leave or forsake us. But one day it will be over. Bank closed, no more $84,600 a day. This is the end, and now we stand before God. That's the whole caveat. We talk about Christ returning. Christ could return in your life today. Christ could return in our life this moment. We have no guarantees what next breath we'll take. Paul says, to obey, to set forth a pattern in our Christian walk that's obedient to the things of God. And that's a precious promise that God holds in our heart. Amen? So talk back to me for a minute. There's some questions at the bottom of your notes. Do you think a Christian can be opinionated? You do. We're free to be opinionated. Come on. You disagree with me? You can have opinions as a Christian? Churches are built on opinions. Do you think God blesses opinions? How do we juxtaposition? That's a big word. How do we jive with being a citizen of the United States and having freedom to do what we want? With freedom in heaven. As a citizen of heaven. How do they jive together? When do we reach a point where we say, because here's what I say, I'll give you an example, okay? The last Sunday I met with leadership and I said, we'll never ever close the doors of this building again. Just not going to happen. Unless there's a threat of nuclear warfare or personal harm, I would never put you in personal harm. But I feel like they can tell us we can't meet. Or can they? My First Amendment rights and my rights as a Christian. Do not forsake your own assembling together as such a manner some is. How many think I've lost my mind? So my question and my prayer to the Father was, if I'm civilly disobedient, are you still going to... Is that the point of where I say I draw the line? Somebody got an opinion? Everybody's quiet. You think we should close the doors again? My whole thing came from if Walmart can be socially acceptable, New Life Church can be socially acceptable. Don't throw anything at me. What's the difference between religion and relationship? Somebody give me your definition. Counterfeit and real. Excellent. Excellent. Religion is based on a set of rules and relationship is based on a person. Religion's outside. Excellent. Good stuff. That's a good thing. What are some examples of deception today? Nancy Pelosi. Does everybody hear what he said? What's an example of deception today? And our friend John said, Nancy Pelosi. Media. They're the same. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. What else is deception today? That God's not big enough. We have Christians that are actually defending closing everything down because we are not adult enough to say, I've got a cold, I've got to stay at home. And like Kemp said, we were doing this before it was popular. You know, if you have a cold and you're sneezing all over the place, my wife says, stay in bed, pray, let's pray, stay in bed, get better, and then tomorrow, Deception says, we've got to close everything down because nobody knows what in the heck they're doing. I could get on that soapbox, I better not. I mean, come on, folks. Nobody wears a mask for a month, and all of a sudden, because they say wear a mask, now you start wearing a mask. What happened last week? Anyway. How does Christ teach us? How does Christ teach us? By example. How does Christ teach us today? Through the Word. I'm sorry? The Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. How does Christ teach us? Holy Spirit's in us. Am I the only one that's ever got yourself in a place where you don't know what to do and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells you very clearly what you're supposed to do? Run. Get out of there. Why did God leave us with a free will? Love Him unconditionally. Why did God give us a free will? We can't choose Him. Not robots. I'm probably alone in this, but I've prayed many times, God, why don't you just make me like you want me to be? Am I the only one that's ever prayed that? God, just make me all you want me to be. I want to please you so much. I give everything to you. Just make me do everything that you want me to do. You think he could do that? Sure he could. Why doesn't he? But if he really loved me, he'd make me do the things he wanted me to do. An opinion. Come on, somebody. God loves us and gives us free will because he loves us. It's our choice. Somebody explain what it means to put on the new man. What's it mean to put on the new man? Somebody else. What's it mean to put on the new man? Everybody hear that? Walk in obedience. It's a challenge. Look, today is one of the toughest times to be a Christian. We could have never knew last year when we were talking about get ready because things are going to change. How many remember talking about that? How many remember, not just me, but others saying, there's something coming that's really going to require character in us. I had no idea what we were going to face. And if you think it's going to get lighter and better, better think again. Because those who have power now are not going to give it back easily. But little do they know the secret. They did not take the power of God. Holy Spirit did not change. God did not kind of go back to his drawing board. He has a divine plan and they're all playing into it. They're all playing into it. And the secret is that we win. The secret is that we have victory. But in the meanwhile, darkness will get darker and light will get lighter. You could see it everywhere. If you're not seeing that, I question as to whether you're walking awake every day. Darkness and light have a line of demarcation. There's no gray area. There is either this or either that. And if we see it, hopefully the world in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, will be drawn by the Holy Spirit, drawn by that light of God. Those that I love, my relatives, my friends, I'm praying. God, that their eyes would be open and that God would draw them by His Spirit. Because when the end comes, it'll be too late. Jesus talks about, He said, darkness comes. Work while there is day. For when darkness comes, no one will work. I don't want to see that happen. Pray with me, trust with me for those that have backslidden, those that have gone away. And for us to set the example, be the Christian God always wanted us to be. When we fail, dust ourselves off, get up, start all over again. If you have to, start again. God will give us victory and open our mouths. We've come talk about the church being reset. We're in training. There's no more pause button. We can't pause. Life is not going to let us pause. We've got to live life as it's coming, and it's coming at life speed at us. Let's live as God always wanted us to live. Father, I pray this morning. I gave what you told me to give. Father, I pray that each heart would be a seedbed, Father, that you would plant seeds within my heart with my brothers and sisters, that we might be people after your own heart, that we might be people that would live according to the pattern in Jesus Christ. Father, that we would be and do and say the things that you tell us to. We give you glory and honor this morning. We thank you for answering prayer. And it's in your wonderful, matchless name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.